The kind of limit I want to discuss today is a different kind of limit in which gravity becomes strongly coupled. What I want to discuss is the possibility of taking the Planck length to infinity, keeping all the but in a way in which we keep all the scalars in the theory. Or more precisely, what I want to do is I want to consider the theory of energies, which are very large compared to the Planck scale. And I want to address the question as to whether or not there could be some kind of dual theory which could describe this kind of limit. Now, at first sight, it may seem that this would be rather a tall order, but remarkably, there are similar kinds of limits which occur in certain kinds of gauge theories. And we've learned there's a very strong relationship between gauge theories and gravity theories of gravity. And it was pursuing this analogy which led to the following kind of proposal. So I'll state the proposal, and then I will discuss it in more detail and try and give the motivations which led to this. So the basic example which is I want to try and generalize is that of which happened is that of five-dimensional Super-Yang-Mills theory with maximal supersymmetry. And if you take the limit in which the coupling constant becomes large, then it's been argued that the limit of this strong coupling limit, this limit can be taken in such a way that the resulting theory is a six-dimensional theory. A new dimension opens up at strong coupling, and the resulting theory is a 2-0 supersymmetric theory in six dimensions. I'll be saying a lot more about this in a moment. And in the case of a free or abelian gauge theory, what happens is that the five-dimensional vector potential gets replaced by a two-form gauge field with self-dual field strength. What I want to consider is as an analogous situation for five-dimensional n equals 8 supergravity. And I want to argue that taking a certain limit in which the Planck length becomes infinite, the resulting theory is a six-dimensional theory, but now with four right-handed supersymmetries and no left-handed ones, and which is conformally invariant. And in the free case, in the case of starting off with linearized supergravity in five dimensions, the five-dimensional metric gets replaced by a six-dimensional gauge field, which has got four indices and a mixed symmetry. In fact, it has the symmetries of the Riemann tensor, and whose field strength satisfies a peculiar self-duality constraint in six dimensions. So this is the idea I want to explore. In both cases, the five-dimensional theories are non-renormalizable, and they should be regarded as part of a low-energy effective theories as arising as part of a consistent theory, perhaps of some compactified string theory. So to pursue that, let me consider the situation works for n equals 4 Yang-Mills in more detail. So in four dimensions, we know that the strong coupling behavior is governed by the conjectured S-duality, SL2Z. In five dimensions, the Yang-Mills coupling constant has got the dimensions of length. So there's a fundamental length scale in the theory. This is one of the reasons why it's a good model for what happens for the theory of gravity. Again, there's a fundamental length scale. This theory should be regarded as a non-renormalizable. Should be regarded as an effective theory that energy is low compared to this to the scale set by this. And I'll be regarding it as a sector of a consistent theory. And the two main examples are the case of the heterotic string compactified on a 5 torus or the theory of a D4 brain. In both cases, these are just part of the sectors of the theory, and there are many other degrees of freedom in the full consistent theory. So what happens if we try and consider the limit in which we go to strong coupling, or more properly, if we consider energies large compared to the scale set by this coupling constant? Now, we might expect, so the simplest kind of behavior one might look for is to look for a limit in which one keeps all the 16 supersymmetries, the SO5R symmetry of the theory, and all the scalars of the theory. But if one takes the limit, one can see that there must be extra light states. If one considers instantons in four-dimensional Euclidean space, these lift up to solutions in 4 plus 1 dimensions, which are naught brains, the point-like solution in four Euclidean dimensions lifts to a time-like world line in five dimensions. And the mass of these objects is given by an instanton number, an integer n, divided by the Yang-Mills coupling constant squared. And so at strong coupling, these become light, exactly like the D0 brains in the 2A string theory at strong coupling. And it's been argued that these could be interpreted as a Kaluza-Klein tower of states for a sixth dimension, which is opening up, where the radius of this sixth dimension is given by the Yang-Mills coupling constant squared. So this is the proposal first made by Rizzoli, that the strong coupling limit should be a six-dimensional theory, and it must be a theory with 2,0 supersymmetry, since this is the unique kind of six-dimensional theory with 16 supersymmetries, with the SO5 with the right R symmetry, and which keeps all the scalars in which one takes this limit. Moreover, this is a superconformal theory, and it has the property that in six dimensions, it has no dimensionful coupling constants. But when one compactifies on a circle of radius r, the dimensionful coupling constant of the five-dimensional theory emerges as the compactification modulus of the theory. And for low energies, energies small compared to the compactification scale, one gets an effective five-dimensional Yang-Mills theory. So in the context in which these are embedded in a consistent theory, if one has a D4 brain, then in this picture, this lifts up to an M5 brain wrapped on a circle of radius R, or for the five-dimensional heterotic string, lifts up to the 2,0 theory in six dimensions given by type 2B compactified on K3, compactified on a further circle of radius R. And in both of these examples, what happens is that each five-dimensional super Yang-Mills sector gets lifted to a six-dimensional 2,0 field theory sector. And in these cases, it's been argued that this 2,0 theory can be consistently decoupled from the full theory, and so that this, in fact, exists as a consistent theory in its own right. It's a consistent subsector of these larger theories. So in the abelian case, it's straightforward to see how this works in some detail. So for the abelian super Yang-Mills, for the four dimensions, the SL2, which governs the strong coupling behavior, is seen as an explicit symmetry of the field theory equations of motion. And for five dimensions, there's a six-dimensional 2,0 theory corresponding to an abelian 2,0 theory, which is known explicitly. It's a theory of a 2,0 multiplet with a two-form gauge field and five scalars. And the field strength for this two-form satisfies this six-dimensional self-duality constraint, at least possibly with some nonlinear modifications. And reducing this theory on a circle of radius r gives rise to a five-dimensional abelian Yang-Mills theory, and with precisely the right coupling constant dependence, that the coupling constant, the normalization of the field of the kinetic term has precisely this factor of 1 over r, confirming in this case the interpretation of this coupling constant as coming from the compactification radius. So in the abelian case, one has these kinds of explicit checks of what's going on, and one has quite a lot of control. In the non-abelian case, the situation is not nearly so straightforward. In four dimensions, the SL2 is not a symmetry of the Yang-Mills field theory. The non-abelian minimal couplings are not invariant under the SL2. And five dimensions, for the five-dimensional case, there is no six-dimensional... It's known that one cannot add local covariant interactions to the six-dimensional 2,0 multiplet that I was discussing before that can dimensionally reduce to the five-dimensional super Yang-Mills theory. So it's been argued that there cannot be a local covariant field theory description of this six-dimensional 2,0 theory in the interacting case. Nonetheless, we have accumulated over the years some good evidence for these dualities. And this suggests that perhaps local conventional field theory may not give a complete description of what's going on in these cases. So the six-dimensional 2,0 theory is perhaps some new kind of six-dimensional theory. And one way describe our ignorance of it is to introduce an M word for it. And I'll suggest the name of M interactions for describing this kind of theory. It's not even clear whether one should really think of it as in terms of the free 2,0 theory plus some kind of exotic interactions, or whether there's some more drastic change which is needed. But nonetheless, let me use these words to represent this for now. If there is such a theory, then if one compactifies on a two torus, then the resulting theory in four dimensions will automatically have an SL2Z symmetry, which will inherit from the diffeomorphism symmetry of the two torus. So this way we get a four-dimensional theory with some kind of, which will inherit some kind of strange M interactions, and which nonetheless will reduce the Super-Yang-Mills theory in some limit, but will have some modifications which have this SL2Z symmetry, which the naive form of the Super-Yang-Mills theory, the minimal form of the Super-Yang-Mills theory, does not have. And if M theory has this corner, this system with the describing, say, the M5 brain dynamics, which has this kind of unconventional type of interaction, then it's natural to ask whether these kinds of things could occur in other corners of M theory. And the corner of M theory I want to look at are those corners which could be described by at low energies by a 5-dimensional n=8 supergravity. And so one might be thinking explicitly of the case of M theory compactified on a 6-torus. So this theory has got an E6 rigid symmetry, which is broken down to a discrete subgroup in the quantum theory, and a USP8 local symmetry. And the bosonic spectrum consists of a graviton, 27 abelian vector fields, and 42 scalars taking values in this coset space. And I'll introduce the 5-dimensional Planck length, which I'll denote LP, which normalizes the kinetic terms. So as I explained, I want to consider the limit in which one considers the Planck length becoming large, or rather, more precisely, in which one considers energies large compared to the Planck scale. And I want to look to see whether there's any possibility of describing this by a dual theory, some kind of dual theory giving an effective description, analogous to the what was seen to occur for the 5-dimensional Yang-Mills theory. So the natural thing to try and look for is a theory which would keep all the 32 supersymmetries, would keep all 42 scalars, and would keep the USP8 R symmetry. Now, the n=8 theory can be decomposed into n=4 multiplets. And among those n=4 multiplets will be a number of vector multiplets. And we saw previously that four-dimensional vector multiplets at strong coupling, so n=4 vector multiplets in five dimensions at strong coupling, can be expected to give rise to six-dimensional 2,0 multiplets with self-dual two-form gauge fields. So if this is true for some of for the vector fields which occur in the n=4 multiplets, then the USP8 invariance, because since the 27 vector fields are an irreducible representation of the USP8 of the R symmetry, then all 27 of the vector fields should lift up to six-dimensional two-form gauge fields. So this suggests that the simplest way in which this might work would be to look for a theory in six dimensions with 27 self-dual gauge fields, 42 scalars, 32 supersymmetries, and which, moreover, is superconformal. Now, The unique supergravity theory with 32 supersymmetries in six dimensions fails on every one of these points, except the obviously the one of having 32 supersymmetries. But remarkably, there is a supermultiplet in six dimensions which does have all of these properties. This multiplet with 4,0 supersymmetry has indeed got 42 scalars and 27 self-dual 2 forms, indeed has the required USP8 R symmetry, and moreover is a superconformal multiplet, and it's a superconformal multiplet for this large superconformal group with the six-dimensional superconformal group times the R symmetries of a bosonic subgroup. And then it's got 32 normal supersymmetries plus 32 conformal supersymmetries, so that there's 64 supersymmetries in all. Moreover, if one takes the free 4,0 theory in six dimensions and dimensionally reduces on a circle of radius R, one can show that one indeed gets a linearized five-dimensional supergravity theory, where the five-dimensional Planck length indeed arises from the radius of the circle. So the six-dimensional theory without any dimensional coupling constants and the five-dimensional Planck length arises from the compactification radius. So as such, this is an immediate candidate for such a strong coupling limit. Now, one of the strange features of this 4,0 multiplet is it doesn't have a graviton. It's not a supergravity theory. But instead, it has a field which is in the 5,1 representation of the little group in six dimensions, which is SU2 cross SU2. And this corresponds to a gauge field with four indices with the symmetries of the Riemann tensor, so it's antisymmetric in the first pair, antisymmetric in the second pair, and symmetric under interchanges of the first pair with the second pair, and so on. And this is a gauge field, which has got gauge symmetries, which I'll give on a couple of transparencies time. And the invariant field strength is given by two derivatives with antisymmetrization to give two triples of totally antisymmetric indices. And this gauge field satisfies a self-duality constraint in six dimensions, which is that it's self-dual on the first three indices and on the second three indices. So for the first, write it like this. So that explicitly, this means that this is given by satisfies this constraint. So a free 4,0 theory in flat six-dimensional space-time background exists, and it's straightforward to write down the field equations and check the supersymmetry. But the real question is whether there's an interacting form, and in particular an interacting form whose dimensional reduction will give rise to the non-polynomial interactions of the five-dimensional supergravity theory. Now, just as for the 2,0 theory, it's straightforward to see that there can be no local covariant interactions which do this. But on the other hand, it is possible that there could be some of these strange M interactions which could do this. And if the limit which I'm describing does exist, if it does give rise to an interacting theory, it must necessarily have some kind of exotic interactions of this kind. And in particular, if there is such a theory, there should be no role for the six-dimensional metric in such a theory. In the free theory, the metric existed as an auxiliary construct in describing the free theory about a particular background. In the full interacting theory, one would expect the theory not to have background independence. In particular, there would be no room for a background metric in this theory. And so the full theory of gravity should be given in terms of this exotic tensor field, exotic fourth rank tensor field, instead of in terms of a graviton. So it's interesting to ask what happens to the diffeomorphism symmetry in this, would happen to the diffeomorphism symmetry in this case. In five-dimensional linearized gravity, one has the linearized gauge invariance of this form. And this lifts to a six-dimensional gauge invariance in which the fourth-rank object transforms under a gauge transformations with a parameter which has got three indices with these symmetry properties and this transformation. So this, linearized six-dimensional theory. So the diffeomorphisms lift to this kind of exotic symmetry. Now, the linearized six-dimensional theory also has a symmetry under the diffeomorphisms of the background space-time. But on the other hand, it's not clear whether the interacting theory should be a diffeomorphic theory on a six-dimensional space-time manifold, or whether something more exotic, perhaps suggested by these, replacing the parameter by these third-rank objects, should be playing a role here. But it's interesting to ask what the consequences would be if the six-dimensional theory was a theory which was diffeomorphism invariant, in other words, a diffeomorphic theory in six space-time dimensions of a conventional kind. Now, any six-dimensional diffeomorphic theory reduced on a two torus would give a theory which naturally has SL2Z symmetry. So, for the resulting four-dimensional theory. So, for an abelian 2,0 theory, compactifying on a two torus gives rise to a four-dimensional theory, four-dimensional Maxwell theory, and the SL2 symmetry acts on, so that F and its dual, roughly speaking, form a doublet under the SL2. There's modifications of this involving the theta angle and so on. But schematically speaking, it's leading order. It looks these two transform onto each other under SL2. Now, for the linearized 4,0 theory, reducing down to four dimensions gives rise to a four-dimensional gravity theory where the Riemann tensor can be combined with its duals on the first two indices and on the second two indices and on both indices, on both pairs of indices, into this 2x2 matrix, which transforms under SL2 in this way, where the S is the SL2 matrix acting in the fundamental representation. And one can check that this there is indeed such an S-duality symmetry of the three four-dimensional theories, both for the abelian Super-Yang-Mills and for the linearized supergravity theory. And this is a very interesting gravitational S-duality which acts in the linearized theory. But of course, the question is the key question is whether these could lift to symmetries of the interacting theories. Now, in neither case are these symmetries of the interacting four-dimensional field theories. These are neither symmetries, as I've said before. These are neither symmetries for the n equals four case. These are not symmetries of the four-dimensional Super-Yang-Mills theory. And similarly, these S-dualities are not symmetries of the n equals eight supergravity theory. In both cases, the interactions clearly are not invariant. But if there is an M interacting 2,0 or 4,0 theory in six dimensions, then reduction on a two torus in either case would give an M interacting four-dimensional theory, which would have manifest S-duality. And there would be particular limits of these which would give rise to the Super-Yang-Mills or the supergravity theory, but which would lose this S-duality. So there's the fascinating possibility that there could be such a gravitational S-duality in the full theory, even though there isn't one in the interacting Einstein theory. And in both cases, it seems that, and that's generalizing the picture that that we've learned from the gauge theory case, that in fact, the linear understanding the duality symmetries of the free theory turns out to be very indicative of much more useful than one might expect in understanding the full interacting theory. So let me just briefly mention the BPS states and then conclude. The way the BPS states would work is that the BPS spectra would work is that in five dimensions you have 27 dimensional lattice of charged lattice of naught brains, electrically charged naught brains, and 27 types of magnetically charged strings. And these would all arise from 27 types of self-dual strings in six dimensions, coupling to this self-dual two form. And the six-dimensional momentum modes, the momentum modes on the sixth circular dimension, would, from the five-dimensional point of view, arise from some kind of instantonic naught brains. which would arise as singular solutions of the five-dimensional supergravity theory. And an important check on this picture is whether or not these singular solutions should correspond to actual states in the BPS spectrum of the compactified M theory. So to conclude, I've argued that there's a strong coupling limit of the five-dimensional linearized supergravity, which gives the free six-dimensional 4,0 theory with this exotic multiplet structure. And this naturally leads to the question as to whether a similar limit can be taken for the interacting five-dimensional theory in such a way that one arises in such a way that one gets a non-trivial limit in six dimensions. Of course, one could take the limit in such a way as to get a free six-dimensional theory, but the interesting question is whether one can get a non-trivial theory in this way in six dimensions. If so, it would have many dramatic implications for Planck scale gravity and for M theory. And we have this remarkable picture that in this strong coupling limit, the metric is replaced by this exotic higher ranked gauge field. And so Riemannian geometry would have to be replaced by some new kind of constructs based on this kind of these kinds of degrees of freedom. Now, it appears that if this is right, then this resulting six-dimensional theory would have a vast amount of symmetry. In particular, limits of M theory compactified on a six torus of the five-dimensional theory in which various kinds of naught brains become massless as one goes to various boundaries of moduli space would look from the six-dimensional point of view as limits in which certain of the BPS strings were becoming tensionless. So these would be tensionless string limits, similar to the tensionless string limits which arise in the 2,0 theory. And so there's a possibility of a 4,0 superformal field theory in which tensionless strings play a fundamental role, and which nonetheless gives quantum supergravity as on dimensional reduction and taking a certain limit. So as I've mentioned, this would be closely related to the 2,0 theory. In fact, every one of the problems one has in trying to understand what's happening in the 4,0 has a 4,0 case has an analogous problem in the 2,0 case. And understanding in detail and explicitly how the 2,0 theory works and what these kinds of interactions are, and how these are different from those of a conventional local field theory would be a very important step in trying to understand what's going on in this case. Okay, so I'll stop there. Thank you.
Questions, please.
In the case of the 2,0 theory, there's a conjecture matrix model description. Could you imagine something analogous with this 4,0 theory?
Yes, that's possible, but I don't know what that is, and that's obviously an interesting thing to try and investigate. That could well be a useful way of understanding that. That would require understanding these sort of the instantons, the naught brains in five dimensions better, and understanding in more detail what their moduli space should be.
Has a 4,0 theory a higher dimensional origin?
Well, in a sense, since I started off with 11 dimensions, going down on the six torus and then taking another limit in which an extra dimension arose, then yes, it does. I mean, it arose from 11 dimensions in that way. But of course, it's interesting to ask whether it could arise directly from a compactification of some theory. But it's very difficult to see how that could work. In particular, once one's gone beyond geometry and with some kind of generalization of geometry involving this higher rank gauge field, it's not quite clear how one should think geometrically. One should think of perhaps about some background configuration involving this fourth rank tensor instead of a metric. And in that context, one would really need to understand the interacting theory better to know what precisely what field equations one was trying to solve.
Is the correct translation of L Planck goes to infinity in dimensionless terms that you're holding, you're sending energies to be large relative to M Planck?
Yes, that's right.
Then why don't, how can we take this limit without black holes intruding on the discussion? In other words, why should there be a conformal limit rather than just a limit where you're studying black holes? If you consider processes with energies large compared to the Planck scale, why is what's going on a transition to a conformal theory rather than a transition to some other piece of the spectrum?
Right, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think it probably means that if this picture is to be correct, then the formation of black holes should be incorporated in this picture. And understanding this, I'm assuming that supersymmetry is maintained, and I'm following what happened, and I'm playing the usual game of studying what happens to BPS states. And but of course, understanding what happens to non-BPS states would be a much more complicated picture. And in taking this limit, then the non-BPS spectra would not necessarily be comparable in both cases, and there would may well be unstable states forming or decaying as one took the limit. And the hope would be that one could understand black hole formation as being part of this whole process.
Any more questions? Okay, if there are no more questions, let's thank the speaker.